turn there real quickly with me, and I see what time it is. I just want to share a few thoughts with you. Acts chapter 1 is where I'm going to use to get started. I think I'm on now, Jamie. Sometimes I'm out in a preacher's meeting or somewhere talking with a preacher, not often, but occasionally often we talk about missions, but occasionally someone will say something to me like this. They'll talk about our missions program, and God has blessed our missions program here tremendously, I believe. And they'll say something like this. They'll say, well, what are some things that you have done or that have the church has done that has made your missions program successful and enabled you to do see God do what he's doing? And I've thought of this over the years. I put a few things down. One of them I put down was this, the introduction of faith promise to the church has been huge. Way back early on when we came in here, we introduced faith promise, and the church got a hold of that. And I believe it's the biblical method of supporting missions. And Brother Don Williams, old Daddy Don Williams, some of you remember Doc's daddy, and he said to me at first, he wasn't quite on board at first, and he said, we ain't never done it that way before. And I said, no, well, let's give it a try. And after a year, he came to me and he says, you know, we never did it this way before, and we never saw these results before either. And so God bless the faith promise. Another thing I try to mention is going on mission trips has been a big part, helping us get a missions mindset and appreciating the responsibility God gave us. And if you have an opportunity, Lord willing, we'll have some come up here in the coming years. Get on a mission trip. I think adopting Kazakhstan as our adopted nation had a profound impact on our thinking as a church on the needs of a particular nation and what we can do. And then the last one, and I think is the most significant, that God has used to help us understand our role in missions is having an annual missions conference. I think that is big. Bringing the missionaries in, being challenged for a series of evenings, meeting the missionaries firsthand, God has used that tremendous. And so I want to read here in Acts, just very quickly, verse number 4 is where I want to begin. It says, and being assembled together, now you know this is right after the resurrection of Christ, being assembled together with them, commanded them, Jesus did, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times nor the season, which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Why do we have a missions conference? Let's pray real quick, and I'm going to share a few thoughts. Father, bless now our look into your word in this matter of missions. I pray that you would stir our hearts as we open ourselves up to you and your will and our role in world missions. Please fill me with your spirit, I pray, and speak to us and challenge us. Prepare us for the week ahead is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know, but this may just be me, but I kind of see this passage I just read here as the church's first missions conference. You notice in first part of verse 4 and the first part of verse 6, it says they came together. They were assembled together. They came together. To me, that sounds like a church service. Bunch of believers, the disciples, got together, assembled together. The church is a called out assembly. So they left their places of abode, they left their workplaces, wherever they were, they all assembled together. That sounds like a church service to me, at least of sorts. They had a pastor there. Who would have been the pastor in this? Be the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to mention, Lord Jesus Christ is the pastor of the church. You understand that? He is the head of the church. He is the shepherd of the church. 1 Peter 5:4 refers to Jesus as the chief shepherd. And that word shepherd is where we get our word pastor from. Jesus is the chief pastor of the church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 refers to Lord Jesus Christ as the great shepherd, the great pastor. You understand, Dennis Leatherman is not really the pastor of Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church. Jesus Christ is. He is the shepherd of the church, but he gives individuals the responsibility of what we refer to as the under-shepherd, as the pastor, the under-pastor, you could say, and just provide direction and provide leadership and oversight for the church, making sure it stays by the word of God. And so they've got the assembly, they've got the pastor, and then, this is what I'm getting at, Jesus Christ clarifies their purpose as a church. Now, they were looking for the kingdom the whole time Jesus was there in their midst. They were expecting him to set up the great kingdom, the Davidic kingdom, and sit on the throne. We know that's not going to take place till the millennial reign. And so they were looking at that, but here's what the Lord is doing. They were misfocused. Get this, they misunderstood the purpose of the church. They misunderstood the role of the church. They're looking for a kingdom. We're going to reign and rule. And the Lord says, no, it's not for you to know when that takes place. That's none of your business. What your business is verse number 8. Be a witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so I see here a real missions conference. They're assembled together. The Lord Jesus Christ is clarifying the purpose and mission of the church to be a witness into all the world. Now, why do we have a missions conference? Let me give it to you real quick. You might want to jot these down, and these are just my thoughts. Number one, we have a missions conference. Because in a missions conference, we're personally introduced to missionaries. We are personally introduced to missionaries. We meet them one-on-one. Face-to-face, we get to meet them. Years ago, I was speaking with a lady, and I think I was out soul winning. I don't remember what the setting was. She's not a member of this church. She attends somewhere else. We got talking, and she made this statement to me. She says, at our church, we never meet any missionaries. And then she said this, in fact, we don't even know who our missionaries are. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a tragic failure on my part, on the part of a church, that the church folk would never have met the missionaries and not even know who the missionaries are. I got doing a little research, and I came across one statistic, and I assume it's correct, and they said this, that only 30% of all churches, and I believe they are talking about Bible-believing churches, only 30% of all churches have any kind of missions conference. 70% churches do not have a missions conference. Now, I don't know how accurate that is or not, but we have a missions conference, and one of the reasons we do it is so that we as individual members of the church can meet personally the missionaries we support. We can interact with them. We can build relationships with them. One of the things we've been talking about a little bit lately that I think is great is when church members can get a little gift card, just a couple bucks, $25 or whatever, something, and give it directly, personally, to a missionary. Say, here's something to help you on the road. Here's something to get you some food for the kids while you're traveling or whatever. And they thank you for that, and you get to know, and there's a connection there. Or getting back and talking to them at their display and meeting them one-on-one, sitting down at a fellowship and having a meal together. And what that the impact that that has on the missionary and on us as individuals. I want to urge our families, if you would, bring your kids out to missions conference. Bring them out Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, the hot dog roast, Saturday. Get them here and get them to intermingle. Years ago, and they don't do it too much nowadays for various reasons, but years ago, missionaries used to stay in the homes with families when they would come through. How many of you old-timers remember that? Missionaries used to stay. Any of y'all ever keep any missionaries in your home? I'm telling you, it's a shame we got away from that, because that has a profound impact on the children in that home as they see those missionaries, and sometimes they're just almost in awe of these men and women of God that God is using, and to be able to see them and meet them. And that's one thing in a missions conference. We get to spend several days one-on-one personally with missionaries. And I think that's tremendous for all of us, and particularly our young people. Let me give you a second thought. we have a missions conference. In that missions conference, we're able to promote a model for our church. Promote a model for our church. And this is what I mean by that. I have a saying, I don't know where I picked it up, I've said it many times over the years. You get what you honor. You get what you honor. What we put up in front, what we honor, what we do, that's what you end up getting. We're going to have a teen banquet here, awards banquet in a month or two. And if any of you have been to our teen awards banquet, you notice we never give out awards for physical, athletic stuff. We don't give out for the best looking teen, or we don't give out for the one that can throw a football the farthest. And some places do that. That's fine. But you know what we want to honor? We want to honor kids that love the Lord. We want to honor kids that have a burden for the lost, that want to walk with God and have some Christian character about them. And that's what I think missions conference is. We bring these missionaries in, men and women, their children, their families. And they're certainly not perfect. Lord knows, none of us are. But they set up for us a model, an example of what we would like to see in a believer. Somebody that has dedicated their lives to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to serving the Lord with their lives, wherever He would lead and direct them. And so I think missions conference is helpful for us because we get to promote a model for the church. Number three, I put this down, and I'm kind of rushing through these a little. But number three, we have a missions conference so that we can plan our investment in missions for the coming year. This week is really a business meeting, not to build a building, not to take on staff necessarily immediate right here, but it's what we're going to do concerning the Great Commission. And what our faith promises is very much going to determine, can we take on more missionaries? Can we expand our involvement in world missions? And so it's very much a business meeting. And I don't want to try undo guilt or twist arms too much, although I don't mind twisting arms about missions. But I'll tell you, your attendance in the missions conference is a vote for the success of our missions program. And your involvement in faith promise and saying, yeah, I'm going to get in this. I'm going to trust God by faith. I'll commit whatever God leads me and directs me. I'll do that. That is a vote for the advancement of the gospel around the world. And so we're able to plan out our investment in missions for the next year. We see next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll have our faith promise. And we'll be able to say, all right, we can do this for this coming year. By faith, we can invest this into world missions. Number four, I put this one down. It presents the real needs throughout the world. How many people here would have ever heard of that town down there where, that city down there where Nate Ring is? I don't have his card here. That city down there, I don't even think I could say it if I knew it. How many people here would be aware that that place even exists if we didn't support Nate Ring and have him in through here? How many people would know that that place even exists? None of us would. I never heard of it. 4 million plus people, never heard of it. But we had a missionary come through and we say, wow, here's a city that has a phenomenal need for the gospel. And these missionaries come in. Greenland. Who'd have ever given any thought to Greenland as a mission field? Well, Brother Gage Gilbert's going to be here this week. He's going to share with us statistics and needs and the darkness, spiritual darkness in that northern land. And all across, Bolivia, the McKinneys will be here. Who in the world ever thought, but when next week this time, we're going to know about Bolivia. We're going to know a little bit of spiritual condition of those people there and the great needs of those people. I'm telling you, missions conference helps us see real practical needs for the gospel and church planting around the world. And here's my last one. I'll end with this. I usually end with the last one. Number five, I put this down. It prompts us to sincere and specific prayer. Sincere and specific prayer. Suppose we said, yeah, we've got five missionaries. We never put their name out. You never met them. You have no idea where they're at, what they're doing, how much we're supporting them. We don't know, no prayer letters. We don't share any of that. How would you be able to pray effectively for somebody? You don't know their name. You don't know where they're at. You don't know what they need. But a missions conference comes. we bring these missionaries in there, and we see them, and our heart gets stirred. How many people here fell in love with any particular missionary sometime in a conference? You say, man, that guy, I really connected. Boy, I really appreciate her. Boy, they were a blessing. Are you thinking of someone specifically right now? You know what? That's a missions conference, and we get a burden. We can pray for them. Marie Wilson down there in Honduras. What a sweet girl. And so faithful to the Lord. And I'm thinking over Kelly, Brandon Kelly, going over to Indonesia. Boy, little Kristen Kelly, wasn't she a blessing? And you fall in love with these people, and we know how to pray for them. Anybody here ever drive down the road, or you're doing something mowing grass, and some missionary you met in a missions conference, all of a sudden their name comes to mind, you think about them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what I believe that is? I believe that's the Holy Spirit of God touching our hearts, saying, you need to pray for them. You need to pray for them. And so missions conference is vital to our church understanding the role we play. So I just wanted to share a little bit my perspective on why we do this and why it's important and why we really need everybody to be involved and be a part of this, because God uses it such a way. I'm going to tell you what my invitation is. This is my invitation tonight. I'm going to invite the church, kneel at an old altar tonight. Just ask God to meet with us this week in a powerful way. Pray that God's presence would be here. Pray that God would use the witness and testimony and the burden, these missionaries, the preaching of Brother Edwards to stir our hearts. The young people, all through all of us. And let's just kneel at an old altar and say, God, come down. Holy Spirit, come down upon us. Holy Spirit, stir us and help us go forward in the Great Commission. Father, bless us now tonight, I ask. I pray that you would meet with us this week in a special way. Well, Lord, we're grateful for all the thousands and thousands of tracts that went out this past month. Lord, I believe you're working in hearts. Maybe even as we meet here tonight, somebody down in Kaiser, Morgantown somewhere is reading a gospel tract under great conviction. And Lord, we think of the great masses, millions, billions around the world that need that same message. I pray you'd meet with us this week. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Heads are